Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Greenpanel Industries Limited Q4 and FY 2022 results conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishab Barar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Greenpanel Industries Q4 and FY 2022 conference call. We have with us today Mr. Shobhan Mittal, Managing Director, and Mr. V. Venkatramani, CFO. Before we begin, I would like to state that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the result presentation that was sent to you earlier. I will now like to invite Mr. Shobhan Mittal to begin the proceedings of the call. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
To discuss Greenpanel's operating and financial performance for quarter four, financial year 2022. We had an excellent quarter, although our volumes were impacted due to recurrence of COVID, elections in a few states, and price inflation. We have completed the debottlenecking exercise across both the MDF plants, and our current capacity stands at 660,000 cubic meters, subject to the value mix remaining constant. We have also completed the installation of wax emulsion system at both the plants, which will lead to a reduction of approximately 30% in wax consumption. Net sales were up by 19.75% year-on-year at rupees 460.27 crores. Gross margins were up by 670 basis points year-on-year at 60.3% due to price hikes taken in quarter three and improvement in the value mix. EBITDA margins were up by 499 basis points at 30.7% due to price increases, continuous focus on superior product mix, and cost optimization. PAT is up by 42.7% year-on-year to rupees 80.59 crores. Net working capital days at 16 days has shown a reduction of 19 days compared to the year-on-year quarter. Net debt has reduced by rupees 84 crores during the quarter and stands at rupees 60 crores as of 31st March 2022. We are targeting to be net debt-free for the existing business by June 2022. Mr. Venkatramani will now run you through the financials in greater detail, post which we'll have the Q&A session.
Good afternoon, everyone. I thank you for joining us to discuss the Q4 and FY22 financial performance of Greenpanel Industries. In Q4, our top line increased by 19.75% at rupees 460.27 crores. MDF sales grew by 29.2% at rupees 389.81 crores and contributed 85% of the top line. MDF sales volumes degrew by 10.7% at 124,538 cubic meters due to reasons mentioned by Mr. Mittal. MDF domestic revenues were rupees 339.31 crores, while exports contributed rupees 50.50 crores. MDF domestic volumes were 101,834 cubic meters, while export volumes were 22,705 cubic meters. Domestic realizations were up by 46% at rupees 33,320 per cubic meter, and export realizations were up by 51% at rupees 22,240 per cubic meter. Blended MDF realizations were up by 44% at rupees 31,300 per cubic meter. Uttarakhand MDF unit operated at 85% and AP plant operated at 74% with blended capacity utilization of 78% for both the plants on enhanced capacity. Plywood sales degrew by 14.8% at rupees 70.46 crores. Plywood sales volumes were down by 19.3% at 2.46 million square meters, and the unit operated at 81% during the quarter. Plywood sales realizations were up by 4.8% at rupees 286 per square meter. In Q4, gross margin increased by 670 basis points year-on-year at 60.3%. Gross profit increased by 34.7% at rupees 277.59 crores. EBITDA margins were up by 499 basis points at 30.7%. EBITDA in value terms grew by 42.9% at rupees 141.49 crores. Post-tax profits increased by 42.7% at rupees 80.59 crores versus rupees 56.46 crores in the corresponding quarter of last year. I'll now update you on the performance details for 12 months FY22. Net sales grew by 58.4% at rupees 1,585.73 crores. MDF sales increased by 69.6% at rupees 1,329.79 crores, while plywood sales grew by 17.9% at rupees 255.94 crores. Gross margins were up by 393 basis points at 57.7%. Gross margin in value terms was up by 70% at rupees 914.83 crores. EBITDA margins were up by 800 basis points at 27.7% compared to 20.7% in FY21. EBITDA in value terms increased by 112.5% at rupees 439.39 crores. Post-tax profits were up by 249% at rupees 240.47 crores. MDF sales volumes were up by 30.1% at 495,041 cubic meters, with blended capacity utilizations of the two plants at 87% of enhanced capacity compared to 69% in FY21. Dispatches for plywood increased by 9.7% at 9.3 million square meters, with capacity utilization at 81% compared to 71% in the previous year. Gross debt to equity ratio stands at 0.30 as of 31st March 2022 compared to 0.61 as on 31st March 2021. Net debt reduced by rupees 314 crores during the year to rupees 60 crores as on 31st March 2022. That concludes my presentation. Please open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Chirag Lodaya from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. Sir, my first question was on gross margin. So we have seen sharp improvement in gross margins on QOQ basis as well. If you can help us understand how sustainable are this gross margins going ahead? Is it fair to extrapolate current quarter's gross margins going ahead?
It's a difficult question to answer at the present moment with central banks across the globe increasing interest rates and tightening the fund flows. So we expect that will have some impact on commodity inflation. So if our raw material prices go down, we'll also be reducing selling prices and passing on the benefits to the customers. So at this point of time, I think, would say that the gross margins that we have achieved on an annual basis of around 58%. So those should definitely be, maintained in the current year.
Right. And even for operating margins, is it fair to assume annual margins to sustain or for exit run rate we can maintain?
Yeah, I think the annual margins, especially if you look at MDF, we had an EBITDA margin of about 31%. So that should be sustained going forward.
Right. So if you can help me with some quantitative details about the north and south plant volume, value and margins for Q4 and FY22, that would be helpful.
Okay. For Q4, the north plant contributed 41,720 cubic meters versus 45,990 cubic meters in Q4 last year. And the south plant sold 82,818 cubic meters versus 93,500 last year. And overall, MDF volumes were 124,539 cubic meters versus 139,490 cubic meters in Q4 last year. For the full year, north plant volumes were 148,642 versus 137,215. South plant volumes were 346,399 versus 243,216. And the total MDF volumes were 495,041 versus 380,431.
All right. And the corresponding value and margin.
Excuse me?
Value and margins as well, sir.
Okay. For Q4, the domestic realizations were 33,320 per cubic meter versus 22,757 per cubic meter. And export realizations were 22,240 per cubic meter versus 14,747 last year. And for the full year, domestic realizations were 29,451 versus 22,304 last year. And export realizations were 18,941 versus 14,431 last year.
Got it. And sir, just lastly, how is overall demand environment shaping up and what kind of capacity utilization are we targeting? And even have we freed our CapEx plans for next year?
We are still in discussions with vendors on the CapEx plans. So I think we'll probably finalize that in May or June. And as far as FY23 is concerned, I think we would be targeting a volume growth of about 15 to 18% in the MDF segment and about 6 to 8% in the plywood segment.
Got it.
Thank you.
Very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Participants are requested to please limit your questions to 3 per participant. Should time permit, you may join the queue back. The next question is from the line of Saumil Mehta from Kotak Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first of all, you know, this when was the last price hike we had taken in the domestic market in MDF?
Q3 FY22. So total price hikes during the quarter aggregated to 17%.
Okay. And, you know, with respect to interaction with our OEMs and some of the other players, are we seeing some sort of demand destruction at these prices or probably order book is quite full to that extent?
We have seen, some of the OEMs moving to, other manufacturers who are probably supplying at lower prices. But anyway, we wanted to reduce our exposure to the OEM segment in the long term. So compared to, the first half of the year, where volumes in the OEM segment were about 30-32% of the domestic volumes, currently our OEM volumes would be about 15-16% of the total domestic volumes.
Okay. And sir, when we're targeting to a 15-18% volume growth in MDF for this financial at FY23, that implies, doing the basically Q4 run rate. Given that we have capacity utilization levels, which is not very optimal, what kind of, basically realistic number can we expect for FY23? Given where the demand is and not much of capacity, can we operate close to 100% utilization if there is demand?
We don't see any restrictions on the production side, we are not considering that we will be able to operate at full capacity in FY23. So when I said that we are targeting a volume growth of 15 to 18% in MDF, so probably our capacity utilization would be somewhere between 85 to 90%.
85 to 90. Okay. And so my second question is with respect to the balance sheet. Now we are one of the few companies where the working capital number of days have been coming down. In fact, for the year we also had a working capital release. So at 16 days, what could be the normalized level, or these lower levels of working capital can actually even go through in FY23 and 24, or we can expect some sort of increase from current levels?
We could see a small increase or reduction in working capital going forward. But yes, I would expect it to be somewhere between 15 to 20 days, not surpass that number.
Fine, perfect. And last question, in terms of plywood business, was obviously soft in this quarter. There would be lockdown impact. But from a competitive intensity point of view, are we seeing some sort of pressure points in plywood, either in terms of raw material availability or pricing over there, or margin concerns? Any comments over there?
Yeah, we have faced margin concerns. So if you look at FY22, our plywood margins have definitely come down from what it was last year. So we are contemplating taking a price hike in the current quarter, which would help us to maintain the operating margins at around 10 to 11%.
Okay, got it. So basically FY22 for the year, we did about 11% margin in plywood. This kind of margins can be maintained in 23-24, or there is a possibility of that going up?
No, I think at this point of time, considering the inflation in raw materials, I think we are targeting 11% EBITDA margin in the plywood segment.
Perfect, perfect. Sure, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Congratulations for the robust quarter. My question was, in terms of the domestic volume growth, it was kind of weak in this quarter. Now, one of the reasons you attributed is to do with the COVID. What I wanted to check is, how do you see the demand scenario? Are you seeing a moderation in the demand? Has the pent-up demand is already there in the base? And the kind of shift what we had seen from ply to MDF or from imports to domestic, has that already been played out, or is there more steam left?
Like I mentioned, we are targeting a volume growth of 15 to 18% in MDF. So we are fairly comfortable with the demand scenario. Although, you're right when you mentioned that we have seen a volume degrowth in Q4. But, it could be a one-off considering, all the factors which you had mentioned, COVID, state elections, and also the inflationary impact of the 17% price hike we took in quarter three. But even considering all those factors, I think we are comfortable with 15 to 18% volume growth in FY23.
Got it. Just to, go into a bit of a detail there, sir. We have been exporting, export has been making money for us. Given we have enhanced our capacity, why are we talking about 85%? Why not 95% and whatever incremental volumes we have beyond what is required for domestic sales, export? So I just wanted to understand your perspective there.
See, our internal targets are higher. We would actually like to cross 90%, maybe reach 95% during the current year. Considering the, you know, impact of price inflation, which happened during the last year, we are moderating our, you know, growth targets. Although the efforts would be to surpass those targets that I had mentioned. Considering that we are in the beginning of the year, so I think, you know, we are comfortable with projecting that kind of growth. Hopefully we'll, you know, achieve a higher capacity utilization in FY 2023.
Got it. Got it. Just one more question. Sir, in terms of the, given the kind of price hike what we have seen, in the past 1 year, can you help us understand what is the, you know, landed cost of, thick and thin MDFs, of imports, and what is the current selling price? If you could help us with the number for SCBM.
Okay. So at the moment, the landed cost of thick MDF is, you know, more or less similar to what our pricing is in the domestic market. On the thin MDF side, you know, we are at a premium of 10% compared to imports.
We are at premium 10%. And this you would talk about from the south realization side or the blended realization?
Yeah, the south plant realizations.
South.
You know, because the north plant does not face any challenges from imports. So imports is primarily with respect to the south plant.
Got it. That's very helpful, sir. I'll come back in the queue for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sneha Talreja from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead. Sorry to interrupt, Sneha, your voice is very low.
Is it better now?
Yes, much better. Please continue.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. I just had two questions from my end. Firstly, you said that you have not yet finalized the plan for, you know, your MDF capacity. If I assume you will be already operating at about 90% next year or in fact higher, which is your internal target, when do you see a new capacity commissioning, which will be, you know, which is still under planning stage, and do we see volumes, you know, getting impacted because of that in FY24? That's the first question.
Okay, so like I mentioned, we are targeting 15 to 18% volume growth in FY23. So if we are around that number in FY23, we will still have enough capacity to grow at a similar number in FY24. So I don't think you know, we'll face a challenge as far as available capacity is concerned in FY24. But yes, if our capacity utilization is much higher, you know, maybe if it peaks at around 95 to 98%, then yes, we could face some shortage of capacity in FY24.
Otherwise, you mean the peak utilization can again be 115, 120, which is where we can do again a 15 to 18% sort of volume growth in the next year?
Not really. So when I say our capacity is 660,000 cubic meters, so that includes you know, those higher optimal rates which we can achieve. So I think 660,000 or maybe a few thousand cubic meters higher would be the peak capacity utilization. So
right.
Given that we have achieved about 495,000 cubic meters in FY22, that still leaves around a 30-32% you know, capacity available for the FY23 and 24.
Understood, sir. And sir, what we understand from what you said was your last price hike was in Q3. But after that, maybe the timber prices have gone up further. Now, is that a point that we've reached such a threshold that now it will be getting difficult to pass on the raw material cost and maybe margins have peaked out from here and can we see some amount of dip? That's...
Yeah, we have seen inflation in wood prices, but that has been compensated by reduction in chemical prices. So at the moment, we are fairly comfortable as far as the gross margins are concerned. So we are not contemplating at any price hikes at this point of time. But yes, in future, if raw material prices go up further, and that leads to a reduction in gross margins, We'll have to see, you know, whether the demand situation is comfortable enough for us to contemplate for the price hike.
Sure, that's helpful. Sir, one last one, if I may just squeeze in. You, of course, answered about the import pricing being at, you know, almost par level and thick and slightly higher on the thin side for you. But have you started seeing any imports coming back in the market?
Nothing significant. Imports have been happening. But, you know, considering the fact that imports used to have about a 35% market share prior to COVID, and now it's probably around 8 to 10%. So they have fallen substantially over the period.
And they're largely the same compared to the previous quarters.
That's right.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, please note, please restrict your questions to 3 per participant. The next question is from Abhilasha Satale from Monarch Network. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me opportunity. Yes, Amai, again, the question is on the imports. Basically, we have seen imports reducing substantially, over the last 2 years. So, given the current outlook, how do we see this, you know, what are the factors which are impacting or which will sustain the current import level? And if anything has to go wrong in that trend, then how do you see the overall import panning out over a period of time? So do you think that this is a, you know, new normal for the Indian MDF industry, or do you see as supply chain challenges go down or supply chain challenges more or less stabilize, then we will again see the increased level of imports in the Indian market?
Okay, so if we examine the factors which have led to a substantial fall in imports, so we can divide them into 3 factors. One is, due to price inflation on the raw material side, international MDF prices have gone up substantially, as seen by the fact that we have seen over a 50% increase in export realization. So that has reduced pressures on the domestic market. Freight costs, international ocean freight costs have gone up considerably. And, keeping in mind that crude prices are at a fairly high level, we don't see that, ocean freight rates will come down substantially in the near future. And third, Vietnam and Indonesia, which were, substantial major exporters to India in the past. So now a lot of their MDF is being consumed in the domestic space for furniture exports to US and Europe. They have taken away substantial market share from China. So that has also led to a substantial fall in imports. At this point of time, it's very difficult, to conclude whether we will see a substantial change in those factors which could lead to an increase in imports. So at the moment, our view is, that we will not see any major change in these factors which could lead to a substantial rise in imports.
Okay, sure. Thank you. And my second question is again on the CAPEX. So once you announce, the CAPEX plan in the month of May, June, then what is likely to be the gestation period and, how this CAPEX will be planned? Will it be greenfield, brownfield, and by what time, we are expecting the new plan to commence?
Yeah, Shobhanji, can you please take that?
Yeah. So we are in the middle of discussions with the plant suppliers. Obviously, there has been a few challenges with regards to supplies, especially because of this Russia-Ukraine war that has been ongoing. So part supply and steel supply for these plant suppliers has also become a challenge. So a more clear picture is only expected upon the finalization of the supplier and the, basically the primary components of the plant. So I think we'll be able to give a much more accurate picture towards the, you know, the second quarter of the year. But I am hoping that I think in the next 18 to, you know, deliveries can start from the point of finalization within a year, and then it's about 12 to 16 months of installation and commissioning time from there.
Thank you.
So let's say, yeah.
Yes, sir, please continue.
No, so yeah, I think that's it. I think so we can talk about, let's say, about a 18 to 24 month time frame.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any more questions, please come back in the queue. Please limit your questions to three per person. We'll move to the next question from the line of Chetan Thakur from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, you are. Yes. Please go ahead. Yeah. So just two questions, it's both related to CAPEX. So one, just wanted to get a sense on, do we have land available in AP itself for expansion? And is there a different thought process in terms of geography for the new CAPEX that we are planning? That was the first question. And yes, sir.
Yeah, the land availability in Andhra Pradesh is not a problem. In fact, we had always foreseen an expansion of another line or two lines in Andhra Pradesh. So that is not a problem. And at this point of time, it's a very high likelihood that we will like to expand within Andhra Pradesh. Although we are considering options, but... Sorry,
go ahead, sir.
No, so at this point of time, there's a high likelihood that the expansion will happen in Andhra Pradesh.
So there is synergistic benefit of expanding lines there, and we will have more operating leverage out of the utilities that are installed. That would be a fair understanding.
Absolutely. Yes.
The second question, again related to this, is what is currently the economic size for this one additional line, which you will think is optimal, and how has the CAPEX cost changed over the last 3 years since we installed the initial lines in AC?
Well, I mean, the capacity of the line, if that's what you're asking, is still to be, I mean, decided. We are still in discussions on finding the right optimal solution. But I would say, you know, given the current, you know, market situation, and especially, again, because of this war, steel prices have gone up substantially.
Yeah.
We're closely watching and monitoring that, you know, our decision is to a certain extent linked to the volatility of these steel prices in Europe especially as well. But I would say that there would be a jump of about maybe 20% on the investment, I mean, on an apples-to-apples basis compared to 3 years ago.
And 3 years ago, sir, these lines were typically costing around 2,000 rupees per cubic meter, 20,000 rupees per cubic meter.
Sorry, I didn't understand. What would be costing 3,000 rupees?
The CAPEX per cubic meter 3 to 4 years back was around 20,000. That is a fair number, because I recall that number. So just wanted to cross-check if you want to. In terms of CAPEX per cubic meter.
Do it like that? No, I mean...
I just wanted to get
we had invested about 790 odd crores for this line that we had set up for 360,000 cubic meters.
So it's ballpark set 21,000-22,000 kind of number. And that you think has gone up by 20%.
22,000 per cubic meter.
Yeah, and that has gone up by 20% currently.
Yeah, sure. I mean, do keep in mind that that was an entirely greenfield project as well.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Sure, sir. So this is helpful. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just want to understand one thing. As we have already, you know, operated at 87% in this quarter, and from commentary, it looks like the new capacity in MDF is more 2 years down the line. Don't you feel you would face capacity constraint? Or is it like you are waiting and watching because other players are also quite aggressively expanding the capacity in MDF, and new players are also making their way in MDF? So it would be great if you throw your thought on this.
Okay. So, you know, when we say we achieved a capacity utilization of 78% in quarter four, the full capacity was not considered, you know, because the capacity utilization happened at different points of time during the quarter. So, like for the Uttarakhand plant, the capacity expansion happened in December. But for the Andhra plant, it happened in, you know, the month towards the end of January. So, if you look at it, like I mentioned earlier, our quarterly capacity is around 1,65,000 cubic meters currently, you know. And considering that we operated at about, we reached about 4,90,000 cubic meters last year, we still have about 30%. You know, growth in volumes available to us for the next couple of years. So that's why I said, you know, we can possibly achieve a volume growth of around 15 to 18% in FY23 as well as FY24. So at this point of time, you know, unless the demand in the domestic market catches us by surprise, we don't see, you know, we would be facing any capacity constraints in FY24.
Okay. As we can see, you know, the kind of margin in the NDS segment has quite, you know, increased, maybe 9% increase for you in this year. So maybe normally we have seen in the business, once the margin, you know, picks up suddenly in something like 8-9% in a year, that normally normalizes and falls down. But you sounded fairly confident to maintain your 30-31% margin in the business. So I just want to understand, do you think the realization won't correct from here and the margin would be maintained because the supply is also increasing at an aggressive pace in the NDS segment?
Okay. So, you know, if you look at FY23, there's possibly only one new capacity coming into existence, you know, which would probably be around 1,30,000 cubic meters. So we are not facing any substantial capacity addition in FY23. And, you know, if you come look at our MDF margins, they were about 34.6% in quarter four. And for the full year, it was around 31%. So I think, yes, you know, maintaining that 34-35% margin for the full year would be a challenge, you know, because we might not have the same value mix throughout the year, which we achieved in quarter four. So at this point of time, I'm comfortable projecting a 30-31% EBITDA margin for the MDF segment in FY23.
Okay. Last question from my side. So this 30-31% is more you're looking for FY23, or would you say this is more of a sustainable margin in the business?
No, I wouldn't say this is a sustainable margin because, you know, we would see new capacities, you know, coming up in FY24. So, you know, when new capacities come into existence at almost a similar point of time, those new capacities will not be fully utilized during that period. So it will probably take us about 18 to 24 months to have a full capacity utilization of the new plant. So I think, you know, probably for a period of 18 to 24 months, we could see some dip in the MDF margins during FY24 and 25 till the domestic demand is, you know, strong enough to absorb all those new capacities.
Okay. Understood. Thank you. That's it so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We request participants to now restrict your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Kartik Mediarata from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, how are you tackling the power issue in Andhra Pradesh? Like, is there any production loss?
You know, we are agreeable to pay the increased cost for utilization of, for consumption of additional units, you know, because the increased cost would be much less than what the losses that we would sustain if there's a substantial loss of production. So we will be going ahead, trying to operate at optimum capacity and pay the increased cost per unit rather than, have any substantial production loss.
Okay, so you don't have any production loss in Q1, 23?
No, at the moment the plant is operating normally.
Okay, sir. My next question is, we have been hearing that many unlisted private players are setting up MDF plants in North in the range of 100 to 250 kgm per day. So just wanted to know how viable these small capacity plants are.
See, there are already, I think, about 8 to 9 plants in existence. Most of them are in the north of India. Possibly there's only one in southern India. There are more irritation for the organized players in the sense that their invoicing practices are not desirable. I don't have any information about more such capacities coming into existence in the current year.
No, sir. They are coming in FY24 and onwards.
Yeah, that's.
And so last question, what are the major raw materials for MDF and what is the price trend there?
Okay, so the major raw materials are wood and chemicals. At the moment, because we have seen substantial increase in chemical prices during the last financial year, earlier the ratio of wood and chemicals used to be between 65% wood and about 35% chemicals. But due to substantial price inflations on the chemical side, at the moment they have almost a 50-50 share of the total raw material price.
And all these are sourced locally or imported?
Yeah, all our raw materials are sourced locally, although, some of the raw materials from which our raw materials are manufactured, could be imported. Like we use, formaldehyde, which again is produced from methanol, and methanol is produced from crude. So India does import substantial volumes of crude.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anika Mittal from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. Only one question from my side. Are we doing any innovations in the MDF products or planning to enter into new products which can replace the MDF?
Your voice is not clear. Could you please speak
it's not
louder?
Very clear. Just
hello. Am I audible now?
Yeah, please. Just speak slowly, please.
Hello. Okay. Sure. Are we doing any innovation in the MDF product or planning to enter into new products which can replace the MDF, sir?
Well, we're developing certain, there's always some research going on, we've developed a fire retardant product which we're going to test out in the market and, within the MDF space, there's only limited sort of horizon for doing new products and new launches because it's end of the day is a fairly sort of commoditized product. Variants are being worked upon, and more importantly, I think innovation and the production side where optimization of costs, etc., that is obviously always an ongoing process at our plants.
So just to add to that, we have a mix of both industrial and value-added products in the MDF segment. So at present, the value-added products contribute about 48% of the total domestic volume.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. The next question is from the line of Saumil Mehta from Kotak Life. Please go ahead. Mr. Saumil Mehta, your line has been unmuted. Mr. Saumil Mehta is not in the queue anymore. We'll move to the next question from the line of Nikhil Agarwal from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So this was basically more of a, like, I wanted to get an idea. The Eastern market is not like that mature for MBS at the moment. So will this be your focus going forward? Like, will the Eastern market be your focus going forward?
Mr. Nikhil Agarwal, I would request if you're wearing any earphones and speaking, please remove them and speak from the handset.
Okay, sure, one second. Hello?
Yeah, please go ahead.
I wanted to know, like, since the Eastern market is not that developed for MBS at the moment, and there are no such players like Eastern and Northeastern markets, there are no factories as such over here. So will this be your focus going forward? Like, are you thinking of getting the first mover advantage over here?
Okay, our focus is in all the markets, whether it's north, south, west or east. So we are focusing on all the four geographical regions, and even in the eastern parts sales has gone up substantially. So if you look at the situation, around FY21, the eastern markets contributed about 3-4% of our total sales, whereas now the east and northeast contribute about 8% of our total domestic volume. So we continue to focus on all the four geographical regions, any special focus on any particular region.
Okay, sir, you said that Vietnam and Indonesia, they're importing their MDF to markets where China used to export before. They're exporting it over there. So, like, in the near future, I know the situation between India and China is not good, but do you see Chinese MDF coming to India going forward?
No, China is not really an exporter of MDF. Even in the past, volumes from China were very, very low. So the majority of the imports used to come from Vietnam, Indonesia and Thailand. So I don't see any, possibility of Chinese exports increasing significantly in the Indian market.
Oh, okay. And so just one last question. How is the demand shaping up in Q1?
Excuse me?
How is the demand shaping up right now? Like Q4, we had lost sales because of Omicron and because of the price hikes that you have taken. So how is the demand shaping up currently?
Yeah, the demand situation is reasonably good, considering that April comes after March, where we have the highest turnover in the year. Dealers like to be in the higher slab of the annual incentives. Mm-hmm. So liftings in March are much higher than any other month during the year. But even considering that, demand has been reasonably good in the month of April.
Oh, okay, sir. Okay, yes, that's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Karan Bhatelia from AMSEC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are. Please go ahead.
Yes. While you mentioned about 15-18% volume growth in the domestic MDF market, how are we looking at exports from the next 2 years point of view?
So we would like to, maintain exports at around the level which we achieved in FY22. So, probably we would be targeting volumes of around 120,000 to 125,000 in the export market. But if there is any substantial deterioration in demand in the domestic market, we could possibly increase allocation to export.
Right. Also, in percentage terms, we've seen export realizations higher. So could you provide us with the EBITDA margin, what we, like, ballpark number compared to 2 years back in the exports market?
Yeah, I would say, you know, export EBITDA margins have almost doubled. So earlier they used to be around 8 to 10% and currently it's around 15%.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. That's it from mine.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ishrat Khatri from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I had a question relating to the power issue that we are facing. So I think one of the participants asked the question, and you said that we are paying the increased cost for the additional units. So I believe our cost was about 6.5 rupees per unit. So how much additional are we paying for the incremental units that we will be taking?
Yeah, the cost will go up by approximately 1 rupee per unit.
Okay, and how will it affect our power cost as a percentage of sales? I believe that's on an average about 10%. So going ahead, will it be a significant impact, or the additional units that we'll be taking would not really create a lot of impact?
See, it would depend on how long the AP government, puts the restrictions into place. So at the moment, the restrictions were up to 30th April till date, they have not announced whether they will be extending those restrictions into the month of May or any future period. So I'll wait for the announcement.
Venkatji, I think they have already extended it till the 15th of this month.
Okay.
Post that, they will be taking a review of that and, letting us know. But just to give you some more light onto this, you see, companies are allowed to draw up to 15% of their sanctioned power. So under normal operations itself, we were only utilizing about 75 to 80% of our sanctioned loan. So at the moment, with the 50% drawing permission that we have, we can fulfill about 70 to 75% of our requirement at the normal prices, purely because we had a higher sanction load from the beginning. So it's only on that 20-25% additional requirement where we will be having to pay this premium. So it's not on the 50% entirely as the rule says, because we had an initial higher sanction load.
Okay, I think that's great. Also, sir, on the capacity, so currently we have about 5,63,000 cubic meters, and we mentioned that we can reach about 6,60,000 kind of utilizations at the peak. So is it on the existing capacity, or there's some more room for debottlenecking at any of our plants?
It's based on the debottlenecking that has already come online, the steam injection system that we have done. So it is based
We have considered that capacity at 5,63,000 for FY22. You know, because the capacity increase happened at different points of time during the year. So for Uttarakhand plant, it happened towards the end of December, so we have considered the additional capacity of 3 months. And for Andhra, it happened towards the end of January, so we have considered only 2 months of additional capacity. But the capacity available to us at this point of time is 6,60,000 cubic meters.
Thank you. We'll have to move to the next question from the line of Devang Patel from NAFA AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Could you give a sense of how the domestic MDF consumption has grown both in Q4 and FY22? Is it in line with the 15-20% volume CAGR that we've been expecting in the past?
Yeah. As far as my knowledge goes, numbers for other MDF companies have not come out as yet. But based on the feedback we have received from the sales team, we feel that other branded players would also have, grown at the same percentages.
So for the full year, the volumes would have grown, but the whole industry would have degrown in Q4. Is that what you can take from this?
I would not like to comment on whether the whole industry has degrown during Q4, because numbers for other companies are not out as yet. you know, we'll probably be able to answer that question in the Q1 call.
Okay. So, and secondly, you mentioned earlier our price is in a 0 to 10% premium to landed prices. Has this premium changed materially and what was it pre-COVID?
Okay. So, I mentioned that we are at a premium of 10% only on the thin MDF segment. Okay. On the thick side, you know, there's a price parity between domestic and imports. And if you look at the past, you know, on the thick MDF segment, we used to have a premium of about 8 to 10%. And on the thin MDF segment, the premium used to be in the range of 25 to 30%.
Thank you. We'll move to the next question from the line of Jignesh Kamani from GMO and Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, Venkat ji and Sapin. Congratulations for good set of numbers.
Thank you.
This is the MDF margin. So in fourth quarter, we recorded a 34.6% despite challenging environment where demand was impacted in January because of the COVID, while plant was part of the desert for a few days because of modernization. Both issues are behind now, and as you say, right? And the gross margin, as you say, is intake, you can say. So if you take about at least FY23, where you have 20% higher capacity with limited increase in overhead, gross margin is intake. So why you are still conservative on the margin? At least in first half, we see that 35% plus EBITDA margin is possible?
Yeah, Jignesh, I am conservative, you know, because we have still not come out of inflation. So there's no guarantee that, you know, raw material prices will not increase in future. And if there is inflation on the raw material side, we might not be able to pass on the entire raw material increases to the market. So at this point of time, you know, I would like to be slightly conservative and not say that we could achieve those Q4 margins during the whole of FY23. So I think, you know, probably we'll get a better view after the first 6 months of the current year.
So let me further, as of now from 4Q level, there's no any negative concern which can impact margin as of now. It's more that in future there might be input cost pressure or demand challenge which might impact the margin in future.
That's correct.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeral Shah from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is, so we have seen very strong, you know, price rise in MDF segment. So do you foresee any MDF to plywood?
Sorry to interrupt, sir. There is a lot of background noise that you can hear.
Could you please repeat the question?
So we have seen very strong, you know, price rise in the MDF segment. So do you foresee any interchange play between MDF to plywood?
Not really, you know, because the unorganized plywood segment, you know, against which we primarily compete with our MDF products is also facing challenges because there's been a lot of inflation on the wood side and most of the unorganized plywood segment use poplar as the base raw material for plywood. Whereas we use eucalyptus where price inflation has not been so strong. So at this moment, I think, yes, we would be able to expand the market for MDF further by penetrating the cheap plywood segment.
And for any particular reason for such a sharp fall in the plywood volume, almost 19-20%?
See, you know, if we look at Q4, I think, you know, apart from normal factors, like I mentioned, the outbreak, the reemergence of COVID during the month of January, state elections, and inflation did have some impact on both the product segments. So I think it was a one quarter impact. Normally, demand is good. So we are not facing any significant challenges on the plywood side. But yes, as the plywood industry is very large compared to MDF and, you know, the organized only has about 20-25% of the total share. So the entire private industry normally grows at between 2 to 4% per annum. So we are projecting a growth of about 6 to 8% in volume terms for FY23.
Okay. Thank you so much,
Adhisattva. Thank you. We'll move to the next question from the line of Rishabh Bothra from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead. Rishabh Bothra, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. What kind of revenue condition do we have in MBA from these two categories?
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Rishabh Bothra. We are not able to hear you clearly.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
To check what kind of revenue generation do we have from institutional category and the dealer category in MDF business?
If you look at FY22, I think during the first half of the year, the contribution from the institutional segment was around 32%. But with effect from 1st December, we reduced the discounted price, for the OEM segment. So at present, there's no additional discount for the OEM segment. They are purchasing at the same rate as, the retail segment. So our OEM institutional business segment has reduced during the fourth quarter, and as compared to earlier quarters, the share of the OEM segment is currently around 15 to 16%, in comparison to about 32% in the first half of the year.
What my understanding suggests is large part of the furniture in India is plywood, and people prefer making it at home. But in case of MDF, people move or ready to move in furniture, which are constitute a large portion, and new age companies like Pepperfry, Urban Ladder, and IKEA, all these are large buyers for MDF. So where are we placed in terms of catering to these organized players?
See, at the moment, most of these players are importing the bulk of the furniture from outside India. If you look at IKEA, they are not doing any manufacturing operations in India currently, So they are procuring it from their own units in other countries, or a small amount of furniture is, being procured from local vendors. So while it's possible, that some of the vendors could be procuring from our dealers, because if they're not procuring large numbers, they will not be procuring directly from the company. So it's possible that they could be procuring from our dealer network. But, we don't have any data available to us from the dealer network, which would enable us to, trace out how much of our volumes are going to the ready-made furniture providers in India.
Sir, lastly, this market is highly unorganized. So we have not seen or come across any M&A merger and acquisition in this space. What is the likelihood of M&A's activities possible in this area? And since most of the players are moving into or offering all products, I mean the organized players, I think the competition intensity is about to increase going forward. So how are we going to place ourselves in a unique position so that customer comes to us rather than other players?
Yeah, we will be, increasing the branding spends that we had allocated, to this segment earlier on. So from FY23, we will be spending more on branding. But it's unlikely to have any impact in the short term, because building up a product brand will take time. So it's a medium to long term activity. So we'll be starting the activity in the current year, but it's likely to, give us a benefit probably after a period of 3 years.
And in terms of the M&A activity?
Not much, because there are 4 organized players and about 8 to 9 unorganized players. And most of the unorganized players are based on second-hand Chinese plants, for which, you know, there would not be much interest from the organized players. So we don't see much of M&A activity happening in this segment.
Okay, I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Manoj S. from Kiva Advisors. Before I proceed, I would request participants to please limit your questions to two per participant. Please go ahead, Manoj.
Hi, sir. Thanks for this. I had two questions. One was the commercial segment. If I'm not wrong, I heard you say once it's around 60% of the MDF consumption. So then if you have more commercial opening up right now after the lockdowns, etc. So can we assume we can have higher MDF demand in the next couple of years? That was one question. And second was, and since last couple of years, even last year, we've been saying our value-add mix, our focus is to increase our value-add mix. So when you said value-add mix may not be as strong as Q4, you can share some thoughts while you're saying that. And that, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yes, the commercial segment will continue to grow. And if you look at, domestic MDF volumes. We have seen a fairly strong growth over the years. We entered this industry in 2010, and at that time, the entire market was about 150,000 cubic meters. And today, you know, in terms of capacities, it's around 2.3 million cubic meters. In terms of market, possibly around 1.8 million cubic meters. So, yes, growth has been fairly strong during the past years, and we continue to, expect that it will continue to grow at a CAGR of around 15% for the next 3 to 5 years. So, yes, the growth of the commercial segment, as the real estate comes out of a slump for the past 3 to 4 years, yes, could accelerate acceptance of MDF. And the second part of your question on value-added products, it's very difficult to estimate because, a couple of years back when our, value-added was around 35% of the domestic volume, I thought we were possibly close to the peak. But now that has grown to around 48% of the domestic volume. So it's very difficult to, estimate what will be the peak that we can achieve in terms of, growing the value-added segment. But yes, we'll continue to focus on that, keep our minds open and, continue to focus on that and try to get as much share of the value-added segment as may be possible.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll move to the next question from the line of Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, I have 2 questions. Am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay, my first question pertains to the MDF, the capacity presentation which you have mentioned with the industry capacity to grow by more than 100% in the next 5 years. You are currently 25 to 30% of the total sold capacity. How are you positioned to maintain your market share or even grow from here on? First, and second, related to the same one, given that what we understand is the payback period for an MDF today stands to be close to 3 years or even less. So, what sort of competitive competition intensity are you factoring in over the next 3 to 5 years? And second is on the, I'll come back on the second on the operating numbers, please. Thank you.
See, I'm not very clear about the second part of your question. As far as the first part is concerned, could you please repeat that?
So I'm saying you mentioned in the presentation that MDF installed capacity in India to grow
Okay, I'll reply to that. So, at this point of time, since we have not finalized our capacity expansion plans,
No, it will not be right for me to give a number of how our market share will grow or remain constant over the next 3 to 5 years. So I'll wait for our capacity expansion plans to get finalized before I comment on that. And could you please repeat the second part?
Second, if we look at the EBITDA margin, fourth quarter or for FY22 itself, on a per CBM basis, Q4, you achieve almost 11,000 rupees per CBM. For a CapEx cost of 25,000 per CBM and working capital is relatively thin. So payback period is very attractive. So is this or will this lead to more players from plywood or even from other business segments entering aggressively into this market? What is your understanding?
Okay. So yes, normally in any industry, I would say yes, that could lead to expansion of margins, normally leads to higher competition till margins get stabilized to a normalized level. But this is the wood panel industry where licensing plays a very important role. So for any greenfield or brownfield expansion, you require a license, And obtaining a license is a time-consuming exercise. So I won't say that we would see those numbers multiplying till which could have a substantial impact on the margins.
Okay, so what would this mean is that the most of the expansion that you are forecasting would be from the existing top four as well as the next three, four players. Is that understanding correct?
Not really. What I'm saying is that it will be difficult for a lot of new players to procure fresh licenses. Whereas for players who are already in the industry have a historical background and performance behind them, it will be easier to procure a fresh license.
Okay, sir. And last question is on the performance. Q4, you mentioned that your institutional sales came down to 15% in the revenue mix of MDF versus 33-odd% in the first half. So would that also be driving your high margins in Q4, whereby even volumes would be impacted, as in you did not sell more of your, you lost out some of the less attractive institutional volumes, you let go rather?
Yeah, it's one of the factors which contributed to the higher margins. And the fact that we did not see any significant raw material price inflation happening in Q4, although some of the benefits of the price increase that we took in quarter three got reflected in this quarter, contributed to the higher EBITDA margins.
Thank you. We will be taking one last question from the line of Chirag Lodaya from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, what would be the tax rate for next year? And secondly, if you can help us understand this net working capital improvement which we have seen this year, is it a sustainable number or will again go back to 30-35 days?
No, I don't think we would be going back to 30-35 days at any time in the future. So we have always been focused on working capital, especially in the MDF segment right from 2010 when we entered the industry. And some of the increase in working capital days happened after the Andhra plant came into existence, when we had to increase inventories because we had to manufacture all the sizes and thickness irrespective of whether they were fast moving or slow moving to test whether the entire plant was operating satisfactorily. So that contributed to higher inventories. So now those inventory levels have come down to normal, So I think, the 15 to 20 days would be the normal working capital days for the future.
Right. And the tax rate?
Tax rate, I think, would be approximately around 32% for FY23. And beyond that, when our existing tax incentives, are fully consumed, we would be moving into the 25% tax rate from FY24.
32, you said, right?
Yeah, approximately 32%.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining this this call. We look forward to speaking to all of you again post our first quarter. If anyone has any further questions, please do feel free to get in touch with us. Thank you, and please be safe.
Thank you, everyone, for your participation. And in case you have any additional questions, you can get in touch with me either on phone or email.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Green Panel Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.